Okay. So Florence has come from Uganda. When did you arrive?
Thursday before Easter.
Thursday before Easter?
Yes.
Okay, so you've been around a couple of weeks.
Yes.
All right, okay. I've met Florence once. I went to the school that she's running, and one of Michelle's and my friends, Sarah, works there. But we worked out this morning, it was 3 years ago that I was actually there and met Florence. So I was really impressed when I went. And I had a Ugandan with me at the time, Edward. And as we drove away, he said, "That is a calling." Okay, so we're going to hear about Florence's calling this morning. So you are welcome.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you all for having me. We are very grateful to be here, my husband and I. Sam is over there. Yes, so, well, where do I start? I think I'm basking in the goodness of God, knowing that wherever we go, we are family. It has been on my heart since we started driving. I was like, I'm driving and I'm going to meet other members of the same family. And I think that's a blessing of being a Christian, because wherever you go, you're at home. Wherever you go, you meet brothers and sisters. Wherever you go, you meet people with...
I'll be born again 30 years.
Amen. Yes, I think I'm just about the same, actually. Yes. Yes. So my name is Florence Namaganda. Let me see. Am I going the wrong way? Yeah. So my name is Florence Namaganda. Sorry, your name is not yet there. So my name is Florence Namaganda. I was born in Uganda, raised there. But the most important part of my life is I met the Lord when I was about 13. And before then, I was in church the entire time, because I went to Sunday school and I never left. That's why I asked you if the kids could do a song with me, because I love kids. I was always in Sunday school as a Sunday school student. Then I became a Sunday school assistant. Then I became a Sunday school teacher. So I just never left. And wherever I go to churches, I end up in the Sunday school and so my love for children started very early on. And grew up in Kampala, which is the capital city of Uganda. And as I interacted with children in different churches, in different places, I never ever saw children with disabilities. Not one. So not in my schools, not in my area, not anywhere. Never saw a single child with special needs. So when I joined medical school, so I finished, I think you also call it A-levels here, finished, went to university, and the first day of my day in physiotherapy school when I was 19, I saw not one, but hundreds of children with different disabilities. And they were at the neurodevelopment clinic waiting for their therapy sessions. And for me, I was like, who are those? What is happening? What are they sick of? Will I catch it? Should I look? Should I not look? Because it was very different. And, you know, just a few years ago is when I changed it to hundreds. The first time I saw it, I felt like thousands. So I used to say thousands of children. But after one time, after talking about it, I listened to what I had just said and thought, there couldn't have been 1,000 children there. That place is not big enough. But in my head, it was like so many. And the fear, the not knowing what to do, just stayed with me. So I went to the department and I was like, who are those? What's wrong with them? What disease is that? And the message I got was, it's not one condition. There's so many different conditions. That's like, why are they here so early? And then they told me, yeah, most of the parents come from very far distances, so they come to get therapy because there's only one therapist and it's first come, first served. And the therapist comes at 10 and closes at 12:30. So you need to be there as early as possible. So as early as 6:30, parents flock in only to get a number to meet the therapist. And because there's so many, the therapist wouldn't see them like one by one, they would just put them in a mass, like in a room, and teach all of them the same exercises. So it didn't matter whether your child had Down syndrome, had cerebral palsy, wasn't walking, wasn't sitting, wasn't talking, same therapy. Until the next session, until the next session. And so, once I got to know enough to know that what was happening wasn't right and it wasn't even serving the purpose, and as I was saying, God, you have to do something about this. You need to do something about this. And by the time I finished school, I had stopped, God, you have to do something about this. It had started, God, we have to do something about this. Because now I felt like I was equipped. I could do something with him to change. But the one thing that stuck out was, while the medical teams knew that this was cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, hydrocephalus, they had names for these conditions. The parents felt one thing. I was bewitched. This is punishment for sin. God does not love me. Someone cast a spell on me. You know. So there was a great divide. And it's this divide I was asking God to do something about. And then there was a time I was very indignant. One day I walked out of the department saying, God, the devil is being glorified. You need to glorify yourself a bit more here. Do something about this. And yeah, as I said, I started thinking, God, we need to do something about this together. And then because I wanted God to do something and I wanted to partner with him, so I came up with a plan. And the plan was to make a lot of money and then invite all these people to my center, and then I'll give them free therapy and then God would be glorified. So because as a young therapist, I had no job, had no means. I'm the firstborn out of 13 in a family that with no means. So obviously, there was no way I was going to make this money, even from as a physiotherapist. So I decided I needed to leave Uganda and go abroad. Because when you're in a country like Uganda, and I had my brother from the Philippines, and I've had it the same, you think grass is greener on the other side. Everyone sells you the dream. You see the TV and you see how there's shiny houses, nice roads, nice cars, you know, everything. And you start to believe that actually when you get into that space, money is just going to come to you without a hassle. So I started a plan. I wanted to leave Uganda, go abroad, make a lot of money, go back to Uganda and set up the center. So I started praying about it, and God is faithful. He said, Florence, you want to go abroad? I'm taking you abroad. He brought me to England, but as a volunteer. So when my pastor, because as I said, I was in Sunday school, so my pastor says, there's this opportunity to go to somewhere called, I was telling someone that I used to call it Suri. It's when I got here, I learned that it was Sari. So I got, my pastor said, and he said it that way, there's a place in England called Suri where you can go and work. I was like, yeah, okay, when? This is an answer to prayer. So then he said, you're going to be volunteering? I was like, yes, that's why everything was fine. At that moment, you tell me anything and I would say yes, because I knew God was answering my prayer. I was going abroad to make a lot of money, come back and set up my department. Hallelujah. So anyway, I got everything. God worked it out. I didn't have a passport. In 2 weeks, I had a passport. I had my church contributed money. I was here. Oh, sorry. I came to South Croydon. And that's when the fine print started to register. You're here as a volunteer. You're going to earn £30 a month for upkeep. We will do everything else. I was like, okay. So £30, how much does this raise? In Ugandan shillings, is how much? Okay, I can't save any, but yeah, we're here. Anyway, so I was here for 1.5 years, did voluntary work. And then the time came for me to go home. And by the time it came to go home, I was like, God, we didn't make money. What are we going to do? We have a dream. And my boss was, the person, the head of the department was saying, you can't stay here. You can have another year. But I really felt it was time to go. You know how you feel the end has come, you need to go. And I just kept saying, God, what are we going back to? What are we doing? I left a family at home. They are expecting things. I don't have anything. You know, what are we doing? Anyway, my time came. I went back to Uganda with less money than I came with. And not even the clothes that I bought here, I couldn't take them because I didn't have enough luggage to carry all those things. So I went back home with absolutely nothing, but with a dream. And I remember during that time when I was panicking, God told me, write everything down. And so I started writing. And the things, now looking back, I know why God brought me here. He didn't bring me to make money. He brought me to see. I had seen the child in Uganda, what the child looked like. A child with no hope, with a parent who is hopeless, with no systems, no help. And God brought me to England to see a different child. A child with systems, a child who is accepted, a child who gets therapy, who gets parents, get health visitors, have parent support group, a wheelchair is supported by the family. They had drop-in centers where parents would come and share their challenges. And these are the ideas God brought me to get here. So anyway, with my ideas and nothing else, I went back to Uganda. And immediately I had to look for a job. But because this dream was burning in my heart, I got a night job. So I was working an evening from 3 to 9 p.m. I was working in a physiotherapy department. And in the mornings, I would go and see children with disabilities in their homes. And before that, I went back to the department where I saw the thousands of children. I went back and asked them, who are the children that live the farthest, who are struggling the most to get here? And they gave me a list of 8. And one of them was a mother with 2 children with special needs. So I got these parents and I told them I would come and see you at home. So I started a home visit program, which home visit program lasted for 6 months. Then I got some seed funding to open up a center, which was our first drop-in center. So then this is where we're at now. So I think I've told you a bit about Uganda, but yes, Uganda is one of the youngest countries in the world. So that as in our population, I think now it's 70% below age 18. So it's very young. So therefore the number of children and the number of children with special needs are quite many. And the challenges for children with disabilities, as I said, there's a lot of myth and stigma associated with disability in Uganda. So people still believe it's punishment for sin. It's, you know, and therefore, there are very few schools, there are very few services, and even the small services that are available are very fragmented, like different pockets of services that don't serve. And yes, those are the root causes. Yes, negative beliefs, and all those things that compound the problems that we have in Uganda for children. So when I went back, I created one drop-in center. And this drop-in center grew to a school where I'm at visited, and then grew to a medical center, and then grew to a vocational skills center. And that's how the Special Children's Trust came about as an umbrella. So the Special Children's Trust is an umbrella of a number of entities under the trust. So we have, so those are our 4 centers now, the 4 organizations that we work in. So Mukisa Foundation was our first drop-in center. That's exactly where we still are, in the same building 20 years ago. So then Dawn Children's Center is where I'm at came. It's an inclusive school. It started as a daycare center, became a kindergarten, and now it's a primary school, all inclusive, children with disabilities and those without studying together. Then we have Beraka Medical Center, and we have the Mukisa Inclusive Village, which is a vocational training center. And also we are hoping that it will become, it's not how you have assisted living here, but a center where young adults with disabilities can work and serve others. So people would come. So if you wanted somewhere to stay, respite, whatever, you'd come and stay with us, and our young adults with disabilities would be the ones serving you, cooking, cleaning, preparing, and being the housekeeping of the center. So, and then along the way, we felt that we were just the only, you know, when you're doing this work, you feel like you're the only one. And I said they're fragmented efforts. So we created a forum of all organizations working with children with disabilities to come together so that we could work together to create a unified voice and advocate together. So that's a children's forum. So the Special Children's Trust has 5 entities: the Dawn Children's Center, Mukisa Foundation, Mukisa Inclusive Village, and the Special Children's Forum. So just a little bit more about Mukisa. As I said, we started that in 2006. So what we do at Mukisa is really a drop-in center. Anyone can come. Any parent hears about us, they come. And then we do therapy at the center. But we also take the therapy and medical services out to the communities, under trees, in churches. Whoever can partner with us, we do outreaches across the country, and we have about 9 outreach locations where the team goes with our van, which we call Wheels on Hop on Wheels, and then we go and serve the communities. And we do everything from medical services, therapy, counseling, family support groups, all the things that I learned here, and we do them through this center. And then the Inclusive Village is now a vocational training center, so we train young adults in different skills. So there's tailoring, there's farming, there's housekeeping and catering, all these services, all these skill sets, and afterwards they get a starter pack. So that's a graduation, with one of the children getting their starter pack of sewing material to go and start their own tailoring business. And each center has its own dreams and prayer points. So right now for Mukisa, we want to scale these outreaches to reach the entire country, because Uganda has 17 national hospitals. And these 17 hospitals, that's where therapy services are. Each hospital serves about 2 to 3 million people. So that means there's one therapist, and usually physiotherapist one, or sometimes if they're lucky, they may have a physio and an occupational therapist, and they're serving all these people. And as I said, 70% of our people are children. So the children going to this department are well more than the adults. And one therapist cannot serve them. So you find that a parent will go once and they will never go back for services. So our children with disabilities look much worse than anyone, any other child with disabilities anywhere else, because they haven't received any services. So we'd like to scale these outreach locations to reach more children across the country. And would like to do more with training government institutions for identifications, because we notice that the curriculum is lacking in skill. We find that the teachers, the health workers come out of school with just a few hours of disability training. So when they go to the community, they don't know what to do. So we would like to do that with Mukisa. And then Baraka Medical Center is faster mobility hub where we fabricate mobility devices. And then because it's difficult to get good mobility devices, so when we get a wheelchair, we make sure it lives beyond its lifetime. So what we do is when it breaks apart, we take it to the hub and remodel it. When a child cannot use it anymore, one child can't use it anymore, we'll repurpose it for another child. So we have a mobility hub that does that. And then we also do locally made appliances in the hub. But we're also doing child and maternal health, because we know that we can prevent disability. Some of the disabilities can be prevented. So what we are doing with Baraka is we follow women from the neighborhood that don't have the means to go to hospital. And we follow them, we give them quality medical care, and make sure they get antenatal care, make sure that they deliver in a good space, and then have healthy children. And if the children have a disability, we catch it early and we start the interventions. And so we want that to be a model of excellence that we can eventually sell to government. Really not sell, but show government that this works. If we do it, we can prevent more children from getting disabilities. So again, for Baraka, we have also dreams, but they're also our prayer points, and we believe in God for a theater, because now many women are coming to deliver at our center, but sometimes they can't deliver naturally, and we don't have a theater, so we refer them back to the big hospital where problems happen, because there are not enough doctors, nobody cares, you know, that kind of thing. So we'd like to have our own theater where we can do our operations, but also corrective surgeries for our children. And then diagnostics for the children that are referred to us with disabilities, so MRI, CT scan, things like that. That is a dream for this center. And then Dawn Children's Center The one that is in the heart of Kampala is, as we said, we started as a daycare center, and our children from daycare grew, and then they became children that went to kindergarten and then in primary school. We have finished our second year of primary education, and our children, even with severe disabilities, are able to do national exams. What we do is we make sure that they get help to do the exams. And right now what we are doing is help, we are advocating to modify the curriculum, to have a curriculum for moderate to severe children, children with special needs, because those ones usually fall through the cracks. They cannot do our very academic system. So yeah, so that's one of our dreams, but also train teaching assistants in that center to make sure that these, you know, here in the UK you have assistants that go with the children to schools so they can attend school. In Uganda, it's not a thing that happens, and if it's going to happen, it's very costly. So we'd like to train these people so that they can go with the children to schools, so that then inclusion will not just be with us, but will sit in every school. So Dawn also has a big dream, and a few years ago, with the help of Avail, we drew up a plan for a model center for education, and this is the dream. So this dream has been sitting with us for a couple of years, and 2 years ago we got the land, and afterwards we started the journey of construction. The building looks beautiful. Nobody tells you that it costs a lot of money until they show you the drawings. But once we saw the money, we all sat down, and the first thing was, let's pray over this money, because there's no way we could get it. But God has been faithful. Right now, right now we started. I think some of you know the Avail leaders. Chris, who passed on recently, and Dave came to the groundbreaking of our school, and then we started the journey, and now we have just finished the first floor. So when I say finished, now the cast on top is on. Is that a cast? And what is it? Slab. Thank you. Yes, that one is on, and now we want to fill it with windows, doors, and all those things so that we can start the vocational training here. As the center in Kampala cannot accommodate all the children that we have, so the quality, I feel like the quality of our care, the more children we get in, the quality starts to reduce, because the kids cannot play, they cannot do things. So once we get our center, then we can. But also the goal is to become accredited as a national assessment center for children with disabilities, because one of the things I said at the beginning, there's a lot of myth and stigma surrounding disability. So we need people to see role models. We need people to see persons with disabilities in employment, persons with disabilities doing things, so that people can stop thinking that people with disabilities can't do anything. So that is the big dream for us. And we are currently... Yes, please pray with us when you look at those numbers. We are currently looking for that amount of money so that we can finish this first floor. And once that floor is done, then we will bring in children. So we are hoping that by end of this year we achieve this goal. So this is the goal for this year. But as we keep talking about these things, we just feel like it's not possible. We cannot do it. And this is one of the verses that gives me courage. Behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? You know? So every time I start thinking, I'm like, God, how? We are looking after right now about 7,000 children in Uganda. And there has never been a day when we have the budget. Like every single day, we don't have the complete budget. Even in the middle of the year, funny enough, last year, we achieved 3/4 of the budget 2 weeks before the end of the year. So it's always like that. And we live in this space, and we have been in it for 20 years. And what God has proven to us, that he is faithful, that if he calls you, He will supply. So, and for me, even as I share this with you, I just want to bring that out to you, that the God we serve, the God that you have chosen to follow, is really indeed faithful. And if you have any doubts, think of this woman in Uganda trying to look after 7,000 children with no means of her own, but God provides wheelchairs, God provides the medical care, God provides all these things. Someone comes in and they need an operation and it's like maybe £5,000, and you're like, but we don't have food, how are we going to pay for this operation? And then suddenly, God opens a way. When we started this faith project of building a center, we didn't have the land, but somehow God just engineers things together and brings everything together. And this is one of the favorite verses. But what I was thinking about coming here, every time I go to a place to meet my brothers and sisters, I ask God, what else do you want me to share? Because we sang a song that says, it's not about us. Not about us, it's about Him. And therefore, wherever I stand, I ask, God, what else can I bring? And what else do you want to tell your people? And God directed me to Joshua 1. Yeah? Joshua chapter 1, from verse 1 to verse 10. I don't know if we could quickly read that. If someone is there to read it.
1 to 10.
Yeah.
After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving them to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I have said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As it was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
That's enough. Thank you so much. Yeah. So I told you about my journey. And my journey hasn't been a straight line, hasn't been clear. And I keep telling God He tricked me, that if He had told me from day one that this is what I'll be facing now, that it won't be looking after beautiful children as my head. The picture He gave me was looking after beautiful children. If He told me I had to balance books and worry about money and then hire people who don't deliver, and then you have to have the conversations about firing them and hiring new people, and then sort out human resource, sort out government issues, sort out everything, I would probably have said no. Yeah? And I think this journey, this faith journey that I'm on, is, I don't, somehow similar to the journey God calls us towards Christians. He never says, this is it, this is how it's going to be. He says, come to me. And if you confess with your heart, then you're born again. So you become born again and you get onto this journey. And you don't know where it's heading, you don't know how it's going, you know. But the one thing that is wonderful is that we have two things. A God of promises who says, I will go with you everywhere you go, and promises us complete success. And success not on our terms, but His terms. So sometimes what we look at failure may even be success in his terms. So success in his terms. But he also gives us a manual, which is his word. And with Joshua, he promises. He says, don't let this word depart from you. You know. And this is my encouragement to you. I feel that this is what God wants me to say to you, that go back to the word. Whatever happens, whenever you're in doubt, whenever you're thinking other things, there is a manuscript for us, the word of God. The promises are true, the promises are clear. As they were with Joshua, they are with us. No matter what is going on in your life, and I don't know what's going on, and I'm sure we're all going through things, but God surely promises that I will go before you wherever you go. And he says, wherever your feet, I love that verse, wherever your feet lay, you will possess that land. He has given us promises, he has given us victory. All we have to do is to trust and to believe and to go back to his word. And for me, this is especially important for me right now, because as you see, I think there's never been a generation with so much information. Yeah, we have the internet, we have doctors on the internet, we can access anything through Google, through. And sometimes this information can become misinformation. And sometimes if we're not careful, even as Christians, that becomes the truth. Yeah? Internet becomes the truth. Facebook becomes the yardstick by which we measure our appearance, even our relationships. But God is saying, let's go back to the word, because that's where the power is, and that's all he gave us, his word. And his word is true, and if we trust, we will overcome. Amen. So yeah, so that is my encouragement through this work, that we will overcome, that he will provide, and I'm sure that for each one of us, whatever it is that our needs are for him right now, he's more than able. Let's just look at him and look for the promises that he has for us already in his word. God bless you.
Thank you. I think it would be really good to pray for Florence, don't you? And for Sam as well. So, Sam, come. And it's what a task. What a task. God's called our sister and brother too. So let's pray. Lord, we believe in divine appointments. Lord, and we thank you that you've brought Florence here today. Lord, this isn't an accident. It's not just part of our itinerary. Lord, but you brought Florence and Sam here for purpose. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts through her lips. Thank you for the encouragement of faith that we've seen this morning. Lord God, Lord, we want to pray with Florence and Sam. Lord, we want to pray with them concerning all that they need. Lord, Lord, we've heard about budgets and things, Lord, and Lord, we may not be able to meet budgets, Lord, but we can pray and we can ask the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills to provide. Lord, show us our part in it all, Lord. And we just pray blessings on them as they travel the country in these days, sharing what you have put on their hearts. Lord, bless them abundantly, we pray. In your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.